It's Florida and it's summertime. Yes, sir. You're right, Rex. It's summertime. And hallelujah. We got, well, August is coming up. August is just as bad, I think. Don't confess it. That's right. Sorry. I receive open rebuke is better than secret love. It has in the past been. In the past, it's in the past. It's not till like November before. Oh, Jesus, we speak the end result. So thanks, guys. I appreciate that. By now, you should have a piece of paper in front of you. And praise God. I don't believe it's on the website yet, but we appreciate Sarah getting this typed up and Candy always putting it up on the website for us. And just a great team. She does a great job. Sarah does a great job also on these titles. She always says, look at the title. What do you think? I said, they're always great. She kept catching the essence. Now, this prophecy came last Sunday morning. And, you know, if it's true prophecy, you're kind of just, in a big sense of the word, hearing it for the first time yourself. You're kind of listening. I'm listening. And I'm hearing God speak. And then the words are coming out. You don't rehearse all week like, oh, I got something. I'm going to try to say it just like this. You just, God put something inside of you. I was amazed as I was reading this. Once Sarah got it back to me, and because I really don't know completely what I do say. Because it's not me, it's the Lord. And then I'd listened to Gary's message on From Formula to Relationship this past week, and I thought, my goodness, so many of these things, and I hadn't heard that message. So again, it's always the Holy Spirit for all of us. And but we want to look at it just a little bit before we close today, and then we'll be back here tonight. Anybody that wants to join us in prayer, and we're still finishing up on the last of the Malachi series, because like I said, we didn't start at the same time, and then we were off a few weeks or a couple of weeks. I don't know when, and I probably have over 26 years of past. August will be 26 years here full time, and then about 2 years being here, at least two, maybe more, at the little house down the road before we ever got here. So 26 years full-time, but man, we're going on close to 30 years, 28, 29 years here in Immokalee. This word subordinate is used especially towards the end of this, and it has a special emphasis of the Holy Spirit is wanting to get across to us. I don't know how many times the Lord has said this. Tim Stemple has all my prophecies or all our prophecies, and he has a program, and he can always, usually, if I ask, and even when I don't ask, he and his team are so good to let me know corresponding prophecies. So this word subordinate comes up in it. So all things are subordinate to intimacy. And so we're going to read through this, and I'm going to comment. And let's start with paragraph one. I think there's six different paragraphs, and I believe we can do it and have you out of here on what's our normal time. Answers, he said, answers, and more answers. For on this path that I'm offering you is a path filled with continual answers of the heart, says the Spirit of grace, not of the intellect, not of the mind, but those things that go deep into the core of the Spirit and bring forth a solidification, an absolute, a place of knowing who you are. And I, as a father, am desiring a place of intimate fellowship with you that answers all the questions of your heart, says the Spirit of grace. For those things that have come up, even from a child in wonderment, concerning the questions of life, family, and pursuit of happiness, your pursuit of happiness, I have in this path. It's not only a sure and steadfast path into power and demonstration and the propagation of the gospel, but it is to the individual. It's to the individual. When the Lord said in this paragraph that it was an absolute confidence, and I think that's one of the greatest things about this walk, is the further you go in it and the more time you spend individually with Him privately, there is an innate. It's not a superficial, I enjoy, not to belabor, but to say I enjoyed, as you all did, Homer's testimony. And one of the things that he was saying is the things that were coming out as in response was not a thought. He didn't even think of it. He didn't even have to try to, like, what's a good answer? What's a good testimony to say to this individual that says, you know, for him to say, my God has healed me, or God has healed me, or however he said it, my God. It was a coming out of a place that you have, that he has, that we all who share together in this will respond in these last days. And what keeps back miracles is a lack of confidence, because we're not quite sure. Now, I can stand and tell you, oh, I could put on a good face, a good religious face. Do you ever talk to somebody that just talks, so, you know, talk, and they got a good poker face about how far they're in with God and how much faith they have? Well, maybe. But I can tell you the reason why the great and notable miracles are not taking place is that we don't really, we're not totally solidified down deep inside of us that God's got our back. Like, if he told me to step out and walk over there in the midst of the mall, but I can tell you, if you go over there and cause any kind of ruckus, like God wanted me to pray for you, you better do it. Don't just pray for them. We weren't sent. Now, when I first heard this, and then I began to teach it, it was like, I think you're wrong. You can't find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John where he sent his disciples to pray for anybody. He didn't. He sent them to heal them. There's a major. That's not a play on words. That's an absolute. He said, go lay hands on them and heal the sick. So if you're going to go over there, Don't go. Usually that's for us. We have a compassion for the person, and we want to do something that you might testify to them or something and believe, tell them there's a God. But if you're going to tell them, God told me to pray right now for your healing, you better have some umph in it. And it better do something, because when you walk away, they're going to believe this. God doesn't heal. And there's something maybe wrong with me. But the reason why he cannot, well, he did. He told me to go. He go do this and go do that. Well, did they get healed? No, I think their healing's coming. Now, that's okay for us in church settings, because we've got teaching under us. That won't fly. That's not groovy to the world. Because they don't have the teaching of progressive healing and standing on His Word. They don't have a covenant. They don't know to do that. They don't know to do. Don't cop out by saying, I think He started something. If He told you to go do it, there better be some kind of notable absolute at the moment, so that there's a testimony, and I'm talking about to the world. Now, I as a brother or sister, I can go through a progressive healing, and you can agree with me just like we're agreeing with Homer, and there's good things on the horizon. You'll hear more as time goes on, and that's a progressive thing. But if you're going to go to a man that doesn't know Christ and tell him you're sent by Christ, and he's looking at you like, okay, and I'm going to pray for you, and you pray, and he doesn't feel any different. Well, you go away thinking, I'm an evangelist. I went and prayed for somebody. No, you hurt him worse. You hurt him worse. That made you feel good. But the lack thereof of confidence that he's got my back. Listen, we went to Hebrews 6:18, I believe, is last week, and it was talking about that we're those, the previous verse, we fled for a refuge. And he was talking about that those in the book of Hebrews coming out of Judaism had fled over to Christianity, and the refuge was this, a sure and steadfast anchor, which was to anchor the soul. And what was that? The anchor was this: God cannot lie. Well, I can't teach you that God cannot lie. I can say that. You can read it on paper, but unless you're spending time in the presence of the God that cannot lie, there's not going to be that kind of transfer over to you. When Peter walked up and said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none. It wasn't talking about he was impoverished completely. It was talking about I don't have any on my person, but such as I have with an absolute. Stand up and walk. Stand up and walk. Because he knew that Christ, God, had his back. There was a confidence inside of him. And there's no way to bring forth the solidification. You can't do it through a surrogate. You can't do it through a teacher. You can't do it through a series of a conference. A conference or a meeting will kind of gear you up. But unless you yourself come back and spend the time with him face to face, Here's a heavy confidence that we're supposed to have in these last days. It's not an arrogance. It's way beyond arrogance, or it's separated from arrogance. We'll speak. We talk about the blind seeing and the lame walking in here. It was done out there in the New Testament. It was happening on the streets. But you've got to have a confidence. You can't say, sir, I believe the Lord is, I think God is, stay on the other side of the restaurant and eat your hamburger. Don't cause a commotion. But we're coming at a fast pace where we're going to be, God just spoke to me. I don't know who you are. I'm not a weirdo, and I'm not going to hurt your family. But I'm telling you right now, Jesus Christ, Nazareth, raise you up. Hallelujah. It only takes place in that place of confidence. I'm not, he said in paragraph 2, I'm not employing, here's where it comes to, I'm not employing employees on this journey. See, this is not a business. There's no employees here. Don't transfer over your business mind into the family. This is a family of God. This is a transfer of family. He said, I'm not employing employees on this journey. I'm bringing forth sons and daughters. I'll not treat you as a subject to be used in the harvest only at my pleasure and then set you aside. For I desire intimacy and to answer and to supply to you first. My objective is not the world harvest at your expense. For to all my sons and daughters that are already in, my first and foremost objective is to come and lavish on you my love and to build you up, getting you past all crippled places that may have not been evident to the world or society or to those who think they know you the most. But it is those places and those secret rooms of the heart in which I desire to come and fill up those places and bring forth healing and ministry, deliverance from fears and internal anxieties. I desire harvesters that are healed, and those that know me and feel the experience of my love, they step out on that place. I have seen, and thank God for anybody that ever got healed, anybody that got ministered. But I was 37 before I went full time, but I was 18, 16 when I started. I was leading a youth group at 16. Then Candy and I went away to Bible college for 4 years at 18, got back at 22, 23, and went into business, but I was always working in the church. I can't tell you how many, and I don't want to go negative here, I just want to exemplify what he just said. The pastors and the people and the elders, because they did not have the mortification message, which transitions in not just to dying, but then over into healed ministers who are able to come forth and heal. And it doesn't mean people are perfect, but it just means that they come out of a... I can't tell you. I don't want to. But dozens of failed pastor marriages, an evangelist that went awry, went this way, that way. Did they have a call? Yes. Did they love God? Yes. But the grassroots, I mean, the right down on the grassroots of being used by God is how dead you are and how healed you are. Well, I'm gonna get the world's... He's not interested in your ministry before the making of the man or the making of the woman. Because otherwise, what's left in the residue... The biggest thing that I think that he gets on to me about now, and it doesn't happen. I don't think it happens. I don't want to... Don't ask her. It doesn't happen that often, I don't think. The biggest thing is like, just when I'm sarcastic to her or say something less than the full love of God to her, he gets on me that. That's more important to him than me opening a blind eye. That's more important to him than me standing up with 10,000 people. Why? Because the grassroots, the character of who you are, makes up the man. And the man then eventually will perpetuate itself into the ministry. And if God can build a tower on top of that ministry where that minister won't ever crumble, the blinders, the old set of ministry was, let's go get them, go get them, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play center field. Nobody, you're not. You still exaggerate too much. You still think that you get by with telling somebody else about somebody else and say, let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. He scolded me and popped my rear a few times for even telling Candy something. And she knows everything. He's popped me on the rear for that. You didn't need to tell her nothing. But put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today, center field. Paragraph 3. Is that where I was at, or did I get through with 2 complete? Taylor keeps me straight. She's been all those years in college. She's new to listen. This is not a business. It's not a promotion for a man or men. Oh, I can't tell you. I think you all feel the same way. I know he's told us to believe him for acreage in a big place because of... I can't tell you. And I believe it'll carry over if we just stay close to him. I can't tell you how much I despise the praise of men. Like, wow, they got something. Or, we didn't think they really had it going on until now. They got a big building and a property. And we're going to keep our head nose to the grindstone and going into intimacy. Hallelujah. It's not a business. It's not a promotion. It's a family. It's not a promotion for man or men. It's a family. And you, my sons and daughters, are part of that. And those that are out there watching at you and listening, I can just tell you, I believe you believe me, but I didn't make this up. I can just tell you how emphatic it just kept coming out of my spirit. I don't want your call first. I want you. I don't want your call first. I want you. I don't want your call first. I want you. You can give me no greater gift than to give me you in prayer, seekings, intimacy. And oftentimes your heart is, what can I do? Let me go out of the chute. Let me go. I want to do, go, work, go, do, work, do, go, be for you. Put me in, coach. And all these things will come. But I want you. I want you. I want you. Listen how emphatic, how close. I want you beyond miracles. I want you beyond great works. I want you. I want you. I want you, says the Spirit of grace. No one, paragraph 4, no one can stand as a surrogate for you. Not a husband, not a wife, not a friend, not a pastor, not an elder. No one can stand in that place. I can't go through someone to express the intimacy and desires, the things that a father says to a daughter and the things that a father says to a son. I must have you. Well, my wife is a great prayer person. She spends... It won't go through her to you, sir. It stops at her. My husband's a great... It won't go through him to you. The intimacy stops there. He can't... It has to be mono-mono. It has to be one-on-one. I must have you. See to this, that in all that you're called to, and all that you believe, that I've spoken to you concerning your call, ministry, and going forth on this path. See that nothing gets real emphatic, real intricate. No thrill of success. No thrill of having accomplished even instruction from me. Nothing replaces that place of that time alone where there's just you and I. For me to come and lavish. This was my desire with Adam and Eve. I did not create them for a purpose of evangelizing the world. I created them for the intimacy that I could share with them on a daily basis. We're living in this dispensation of reconciliation, evangelism. He didn't create Adam and Eve with a thought in mind. He didn't create, I need you to be a good pastor. And your sons are going to be gospel entrepreneurs for the kingdom. They're going to raise the money. Or I need you to be a good evangelist. He created them as sons and daughters. There was no ministry call for them. They didn't have a ministry call. They had one call. You're my son. You're my daughter. I want you. And I want to fellowship with you daily. The calls of evangelism and the necessity for the harvest came about because of the fall. But you must know that the first and foremost is the place, is this place. Nothing replaces it. Not even great works. Not any great accomplishment. And not any saluting and going and doing and being and prospering in the thing whereunto I send you. In other words, even if you salute, yes, sir, which is saying, I will do, I will obey, and you go and you do, and it's fulfilled, and there's a pleasure of God in that, still in all of that, nothing is greater than your intimacy with Him. Because your intimacy precipitates all obedience. Now he uses this word, all is subordinate to this place. And knowing me face to face, all is subordinate to that. Every miracle that the Holy Ghost will manifest in my name is subordinate to that. He uses this, I think, 6 different times, this word subordinate. Every miracle that the Holy Ghost will manifest in my name is subordinate to that. Every gift that can be brought forth in the church for the edification of the church is subordinate to that. What is that? That place of intimacy and staying in His presence. But I've searched, and I've searched for people throughout the ages that I could know face to face through what I gave them in the inheritance of my son. And I found in this generation those seeking me here and other places, desiring the message of this same. I won't take the time, but I wish I had a chair on stage, because when I read this after Sarah sent it to me, I was listening and reading it, and then I saw a vision, or an internal kind of vision, not an open vision, but I saw it. And I saw God. If I could, if I was sitting as He's sitting on His throne, and that how that when faith or submission to obedience brings forth faith, and then faith produces a miracle. And I saw God when people receive something like a notable miracle, let's say a blind eye opened or something notable, and everybody's rejoicing. And everybody's thanking Him, which they should. I mean, you should rejoice. And I saw God in this mini vision sitting there with a smile on His face, like acknowledging the joy that touched His heart, that they would worship Him. And then He sent, or the Holy Spirit's already with us, and the Holy Spirit was able to go through faith and actually move physically for someone and get them healed. And there was a great joy that that whole process was taking place. But it was also kind of like God was watching, like, this is a norm to me. My power is a norm to me. In other words, demonstrating my power, it didn't cost me anything. You didn't drain anything out of me. There was no effort. It was just, it is who I am. It didn't drain anything from me. And in that sense, the word, it didn't move him other than the pleasure that he got by demonstrating the miracle or giving the miracle, which is always ours, of course. But then on the part of this other, where he's saying all things are subordinate, I saw somebody walk in to that place of intimacy to spend time with him and devote an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours of saying, I want to get to know you. And in the vision, from the place of miracles, the difference was, that's good. He didn't thumbs up, he just smiled. But that's just me. Doesn't really move me to do that. But then when the person walked in audience, I saw the Lord stand up and take a step towards them. Like it moved him. It moved him. Miracle didn't move him, because that's just who he is. But intimacy caused him to kind of step up, step out. Because you're coming to me, you're going to give me something. That's their place of surrender and yieldedness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even in your dying to the flesh and the mortification process is subordinate to intimacy. Nothing is to be done in a cookie-cutter fashion of formulas. Even mortification has no formula. I'm going to fast this many days and that many. Fast, please. But integrate it with instruction out of intimacy and fellowship. Because there's no push-button kind of things like, okay, I'll do this and he'll do this. I'll do this and he'll do this. No. He'll do it. But it's out of that place of intimacy, you walking in a place. Nothing's to be done by formulas. The formula is to know me, to seek to know me. All fasting, all prayers, and all giving of thanks circumvents around my original desire for man and sons and daughters for the purpose of communion. If you'll do these things, you'll be highly exalted. You'll be highly exalted, and my exaltation will be to glorify Jesus through you. But never forget, never in prosperity, never in the move of my spirit, never at any moment, what all things are subordinate to. Hallelujah. Harry coming. We've got a little bit before noon. Let's spend the next 10 minutes. I want to ask you to stand and let's worship God. If any of you want to come forward, that's fine. If you want to kneel any place. You don't have to stand. You can stand or be seated. Or if you want to come and just kneel, give your body to something. We're going forward together. I believe you're going with me, and I believe we're going together. But it's going to take a consecration like we've never known before. And I believe we can do it. So it's 10 till 12. Let's at least for the next 10 minutes give ourselves over to this place. Hallelujah, Jesus.